But let's go back to that food allergy story. On the line is Professor Katie Allen, who's Director of the Centre for Food Allergy Research at the Murdoch Children's Research Institute. Welcome to the Health Report, Katie.
Hello, Norman.
Now, these two studies published in the New England Journal of Medicine are really quite important. But let's go back to a study done last year into peanut allergy, which suggested that early introduction could prevent peanut allergy.
Yes, this is a fantastic study. It really is very important for changing the way that we feed infants.
The theory is the increase in peanut allergy is because we've held back on introducing solids too late.
Yes, there's this sort of concept that you sensitise through the skin to a food, and if you don't eat it, that increases the risk of having allergies. So if there's a food that's commonly eaten in the community but not eaten by the infant themselves, and the infant has eczema, then that child will have a really high rate of something like peanut allergy.
Because they might be wiping the chocolate on themselves or something like that.
That's sort of lay interpretation. But in fact, Gideon Lack, who actually is the author of that study, went and vacuumed houses that consumed peanut and found that the peanut was in the dust and in the bed. It's a sticky allergen, so it gets into the environment.
And then there's these fascinating studies comparing sort of Israeli kids to Jewish kids in Britain, and Israeli kids of the same genetic stock don't get peanut allergy to the same extent.
Yes, I mean, there's arguments about whether it's the same genetic stock or not when you speak to population geneticists, but the observation was what really drove this LEAP study that you're talking about, published in the New England Journal last year. And this observation about the difference between time of introduction of solids, peanut in particular, was thought to drive the difference in peanut allergy rates. However, there was a difference in other food allergy rates as well, and peanut was the only real difference in the way that they introduced that food. So there's always been a bit of a question mark in our mind about whether that observational study might have been affected by things like reverse causation or other unmeasured factors. And so this LEAP trial that was published in the New England Journal last year was really astounding as an outcome from a trial point of view, because it's the first time that we've got level one evidence, meaning really high quality evidence, that delaying peanut is harmful and early introduction may be protective.
What did they do?
Is protective. So they took 640 high-risk infants, so they're infants with moderately severe eczema, so eczema that needs treatment with steroids and has been diagnosed by a doctor, plus or minus egg allergy. And then they divided them into two groups, those who were to avoid peanut and those who were to consume peanut. There was a really quite staggeringly high differences between those who avoided and those who introduced peanut. And these were infants between 4 and 11 months of age. So it clearly made evident that that first year of life is the most important with regards to oral tolerance to foods.
And were they careful about who they introduced peanut?
So if a child had a skin prick test of 5 millimetres or above, they were excluded from the study, because those are the children who probably already had peanut allergy. In fact, the study looks at a high-risk group of infants, and it also excluded the infants who probably already had peanut allergy. Now, the question mark is, what do we do for those infants? And the other question mark is, what to do for the infants who don't have eczema or don't have egg allergy? But of the low-level sensitised groups, so the ones with low-level skin prick tests or with a negative skin prick test, they were actually randomised to avoid or consume. And if they were given the food, they were given a food challenge first to check the safety. The ones who avoided the food weren't given a food challenge. So that's a second question mark. Maybe they weren't going to have peanut allergy in the first place. But because it's a trial, you should see equal amounts of outcomes in the balanced arm of the study. We know from our Health Nut study, an observational study in Melbourne of 5,300 infants, and we found that there were 150 cases of peanut allergy already by age one, and that's 3% of the general community. And the new onset peanut allergic cases were 0.1%, very, very low. So we know after the age of one, new onset peanut allergy is remarkably rare. Really, it's all over by age 12 months. If you already have peanut allergy, you're in a different kettle of fish from the immune point of view than if you were looking to prevent it in the first place.
And the other study in these two studies that have just been released is trying to see whether the peanut story can be applied to milk and egg in particular by early introduction of those allergens in the first 3 months of life. And this is not a high-risk group of babies. This is normal breastfed babies.
Yes, this is really quite an extraordinary study, because it was initiated 5 or 6 years ago, really way before we were looking at these stories. This is the first, you know, cutting-edge studies, and the outcomes take years to actually get. But even having these studies in progress has really changed clinical awareness of the issue and what we should be doing. Some clinicians have sort of started changing their practice based on the fact that the studies have already been in progress, which is often the case with science. But what's extraordinary about this is that before 1972, babies were actually introduced to solids quite early in life, you know, 2 to 3 months of age. age. In fact, 90% of babies had had some form of solids exposure, not in the form of, you know, roast turkey meal, but having cereals such as wheat and perhaps rice added to formula to thicken their feeds, probably because the old-fashioned formulas in the 60s and 50s were causing a lot more positing. So before 1972, when the UK Committee of Toxicology decided to delay the introduction of solids, early introduction was quite normal. And what Michael Perkins and his team has done at the Evelina Hospital in London is they've sat down and said, let's go back to that. Let's have a go at trying to introduce solids. And they're all sort of softened solids, so, you know, developmentally appropriate solids at 2 to 3 months of age. And that's pretty shocking when you think about we're being told by WHO to introduce solids after the age of 6 months. And so to turn that around completely and go into an ethics committee and say, trust us, we know what we're doing, was pretty extraordinary and very brave. Now, what's fascinating about this study is that there's this difference between intention to treat and per protocol. So intention to treat means you're put into a group and you have to follow that, but per protocol means what the actual participant did.
And just to expand on that, so if you're really analysing the study, you include the dropouts into it. So parents who didn't follow the advice, you include into that because it's supposedly a kind of measure of real life. But what you're saying is in this study, there was a very different result for the parents who stuck to the protocol of introducing the solids early.
So what's normally the case with intention to treat is that's what we say before we start, what we expect people to be sticking with the allocated groups. And that's the correct scientific way to analyse the data. What the PERP protocol does is what people end up disregarding and doing what they want to do themselves. So the real life environment is actually not as scientifically valid. The intention to treat is the correct one that you should do because it actually avoids the bias of people doing what they want to do rather than what they've been told to do. So the PERP protocol does reflect real life, but the issue is it's scientifically weaker. So the conclusion of the study is really going to be very interesting going forward because the PERP protocol, meaning what people actually did, found a significant effect, but the intention to treat did not. And so what it suggests is that there is a bias. If you can eat it, you will eat it, and if you can't eat it, you won't. So what happens is those who can't eat it are already probably likely to be allergic or have some sort of thing that stops them from eating it. So the question is you can't use humans as guinea pigs, and rats and mice and guinea pigs don't have the same immune system as us. So we really highlight how difficult these infant feeding trials are. They're really hard to mount properly. And that's why the New England Journal is so interested in them, because this is a large, properly done studies, and we will be analysing these results for many years to come because they're so important.
But the first take is that it looks positive that introducing solids early can have an effect in preventing food allergy.
That's absolutely correct. So this will really make WHO and the big policymakers sit up and take notice, because now we have this paradoxical problem where delaying the introduction of solids has been thought to be important because it may impact on breastfeeding, which is obviously something that we're very concerned. We don't want to drop breastfeeding rates. But if you look at the EAT study that Michael Perkins published in the New England Journal, he argues that it didn't have an impact on breastfeeding rates. And so those who were told standard recommendations to delay the introduction of solids to after 6 months versus those who had early introduction of solids, the breastfeeding rates between the two arms did not appear to be statistically different.
So the Health Report has a huge audience amongst pregnant women about to have their babies and worried about what the advice is now. What is the advice now?
So the advice is likely to stay the same, but it's likely to be better informed. So the Australian Society of Clinical Immunology and Allergy recommends the introduction of solids between the age of 4 to 6 months. The NHMRC, the National Health and Medical Research Council, has a softer line, which says around 6 months, but that can be interpreted to mean 5 to 6 months. So the recommendations remain the same that they were 10 years ago before we changed them, which is introduction between 4 and 6 months of age is both safe and acceptable. And going forward, people may say, bring it back earlier, but one study which was not statistically significantly different isn't going to change it to be less than 4 months at this point in time.
Katie Allen, thanks for joining us on the Health Report.
Thank you, Norman.
Professor Katie Allen is Director of the Centre for Food Allergy Research at the Murdoch Children's Research Institute in Melbourne.